All right, take your Bibles this evening, and let's make some headway on Revelation. What do you think? Revelation chapter 4. And I told you at the beginning of every Wednesday night as we study through the book of Revelation, I would try to do a little review. I want you to bring your Bibles every Wednesday night because we're going to be turning to a ton of Scripture. And that's something about seeing the Bible would do something for you. Also, I want to remind you, somebody asked me this a few weeks ago, that the book of Revelation is the only book in the Bible that I know that the Bible says if you'll read it, you'll be blessed. Revelation 1 and verse 3 says, he that reads, okay, this prophecy will be blessed. So if you want a blessing, then read the book of Revelation. So as we read it, as we study it, I hope you get much from it. Now, the series I've entitled it is End Time Previews. That's what I've entitled this. And I want to remind you, I feel like we need to have a little bit of review tonight since it seems like forever since I've been in the book of Revelation. I know it hadn't been. But just to bring us up to speed to where we are. Okay, my goal in this going through this book is that you will be able to tell this book and what's in this book to anyone that asks you. And I believe you'll be able to. We're going to make it so simple that you'll be able to do it. Okay? So end time previews is what we're looking at. And the book of Revelation is a very simple book if you learn the outline. So many people try to get into the book of Revelation. They try to read the book of Revelation. And they try to go to the events first. You're going to get bogged down. The book of Revelation, you must first have an outline. Once you have the outline of the entire book, then you plug in the events. If you do it any other way, you get bogged down and it all starts running together. So we're looking at end time previews. The book of Revelation is simply this. Chapter 1 is where the apostle John is exiled to the Isle of Patmos. Chapter 1 is his vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapters 2 and 3 are the literal churches that were in Asia Minor that day. There were seven literal churches. Also, we believe those are different church ages that we've experienced through time. I believe we're living in the last church age, which is the church of the Laodicea, which characterizes that particular category with lukewarmness. As we look around today, the church in general seems to be lukewarm. Chapter 4 is where we'll start, and we have started the last few weeks that we've been in the book, is the rapture of the church. Chapter 5 is the title deed of the earth given back to the Lord Jesus. The scene is in heaven. No one can come up and take the scroll, the title deed of the earth, except the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 6 through 18 is the heart of the book, the main part of the book. That is the tribulation period. It's divided into the tribulation period and the great tribulation period. It lasts 7 years. And in that period of time, you have judgments. Judgment of the trumpets and the bowls and the seals. And then you have different characters that come into play that will have a part in this tribulation period. Then in chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, you have the marriage supper of the Lamb. What's going to be happening those 7 years that the world is going through tribulation? We as the church, as believers, will be in heaven at the marriage supper of the Lamb. There's where we will be having that supper with the Lord. I believe at that time is when the Lord will pass out his rewards. We're going to talk a little bit about that Sunday. If you want to hear the words, well done, thy good and faithful servant, you're going to hear it during those 7 years. So that's the marriage supper of the Lamb, chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. And then in verses 11 through 21, we have the second coming of Christ. Don't confuse that with the rapture. The rapture that we're going to talk about tonight is when the Lord comes in the air and he stops in the air and we go to meet him. In chapter 19, verses 11 through 21, is when we come back with the Lord and we come back and set our feet on earth. And then in chapter 19, we have the millennial kingdom, that thousand-year reign. You remember the lion lays down with the lamb? That'll happen in chapter 19. Chapter 20, we're going to learn about the great white throne of judgment. And then chapter 21 and chapter 22 are all things new. They're heaven, okay? So that's a book. Now, The Lord gave us a more condensed outline in Revelation chapter 1, verse 19. He talks to John. He says, I want you to do some things. Write the things which you've seen, which would be chapter 1. He saw a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he said, write the things that are, which would be chapters 2 and 3, the seven literal churches of Asia Minor. Then he said, then write the things which will come to pass. That's the rest of the book, chapter 4 through 22. Now tonight, we're going to continue in end time previews. The next thing I believe on God's prophetic calendar is the rapture of the church. So we're going to start. Take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, we'll see this in verse 1. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and a first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, now notice the next three words. You need to circle these words. Come up here. I believe that is the rapture of the church. And I will show you things which must take place after this. So we're looking at the rapture of the church. The first thing we looked at, and this is review, is what does the word rapture mean? What does it mean? It's a Latin word, rapio, and it simply means this, to grab. It means to snatch. It means to carry off. That's what's going to happen in the rapture. Now we get a picture of this event in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So I want you to keep a marker in Revelation chapter 4. Turn back to the left to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I want you to see a few verses that Paul is talking about this event that we call the rapture of the church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, look at verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain should be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Notice, we're meeting him in the air. Again, this is the rapture. Don't confuse that with the second coming of the Lord. That's all the way over in chapter 19. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Now, few quick, brief things that we talked about this event. First of all, we talked about the descent. Look again at verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven. Where is God? God is in heaven. Who sits at his right hand? The Lord Jesus Christ. Who's on earth with us? The Holy Spirit. So the Lord will come from where? His descent will be from where? It'll be from heaven. You remember when in Acts chapter 1, we won't turn there, but in Acts chapter 1, what did the disciples, they saw the Lord go back into heaven. You remember what the angels said? The angels said, the way you saw him go up into heaven is the way he's going to come back. So we talked about this descent. Verse 17 talks about in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So the rapture is something that's going to take place in the air, in the clouds. The Lord's going to come down from the throne in heaven to meet us who are believers when the rapture takes place. We will meet together in the air. So we talked about this descent. Then we talked about this description. Verse 16, with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God. Do you realize, I believe, you could hear that voice, you could hear that shout, you could hear that trumpet at any time. I believe the whole world will hear it just like that. Lord, that aren't you anticipating that? Aren't you looking forward to that? So we talked about that description. Then we talked about the dead, verse 16. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Now we stopped there and we simply made a portrait of Scripture of talking about two resurrections. I'm not going to turn there, but in John chapter 5, Jesus talks about two resurrections. First of all, he talks about the resurrection of life. We talked about that. What is the resurrection of life? First of all, some of the Old Testament saints, some of them, when Jesus was resurrected, remember that? If you look, the Bible says in Matthew 27 that some of the graves of the Old Testament saints were open. So that was the first resurrection. They went into the city of Jerusalem. They witnessed to the people there of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and they were taken to heaven. And then comes what? The dead in Christ will rise first. What does that mean, Brother Ron? All of us in this room has lost somebody, have we not? We have them in a cemetery probably somewhere. When the rapture happens, who's going to go first? The dead in Christ. All the graves around the world of true believers will open up at this rapture. And they will go up to heaven, or go up to heaven where the Lord is as He comes down, not actually to the third heaven, but in the sky, and there be with the Lord, and He'll take us on home. Then we talked about that then we are alive and remain. We'll be caught up together with Him in the clouds. So if that rapture happened right now, what would happen, Brother Ron? Here's what would happen, okay? The trumpet would sound. That loud voice would sound, okay? All the graves would be open. They would go meet the Lord in the air where He is. And then what will happen to us as believers, okay? Then we would come right after that. That's why Paul says, and that we who are alive and remain. I believe, now this is just a personal opinion, that I believe that we possibly could be the generation that sees the Lord in the air. It's possible that many of us in this room will not see death, but will be raptured out before death. So we talked about that. Then we talked about another part of this resurrection of life is during the tribulation period, called the tribulation saints that will be resurrected. So we talked about this descent, this description, the dead in Christ. And then we talked about this departure, verse 17, those who are alive and remain will go to meet the Lord in the air. Now, then we talked about the second part that Jesus talked about in John chapter 5, not only the resurrection of life, but the resurrection of condemnation. That's the great white throne of judgment in Revelation chapter 20. Those who didn't know Christ, that never received Christ, will stand before the Lord, and they will give an account of their lives from there. All right, that gives us a quick background of where we've been. If that's quick for you, just go back on the website and you'll catch up more on it. Now, here's what I want you to know, because I said I want to make this simple. That was a lot of information. Okay, here's what I want you to remember. If you can remember this, you'll do fine. Okay? What's the next prophetic event on God's calendar? It's the rapture. There's only two things I want you to remember about the rapture. Okay? Main two things. The dead in Christ will rise first. Who is that? That cemetery right out there. It's full of believers. They're going to be resurrected. Your loved ones, wherever they're at across the world, wherever they're at, will rise up. The dead in Christ will rise first. So we got the rapture, okay? We go to meet the Lord in the air. He comes from heaven to meet us. Right there, we're going to meet in the middle, okay? The dead in Christ are going to rise first. And then what? The second thing I want you to remember, we who are alive will remain, will meet with Him in the air. So if you're alive, which we could be at that time, then we are going to meet Him in there. That's what I want you to remember about the rapture. Can you remember that? Somebody asks you what the rapture is, I want you to be able to tell them what the rapture is. The rapture is when we meet the Lord in the air. He comes down from heaven in the sky. We from earth go meet Him, either as being dead and resurrected to meet Him, or alive, still we will meet Him. Now, can I take a side journey here just for a moment, okay? Because I was asked a question a few weeks ago, and it was a good question. I've never been asked it before. Someone asked me the question, okay, Brother Ron, the dead in Christ will rise first. Those who had died before the rapture will rise first, okay? What about those who are not believers? What's going to happen to them? Where are they at in this whole mix? Think about that. That is a very good question. Now, here's what I believe will happen. I believe they will remain in the grave through the entire tribulation period. Because you don't get to the great white throne of judgment, which they'll stand before God, until almost the end of the book of Revelation. After the tribulation has already transpired, I believe they'll still be in the grave. Now, I want to give this to you, okay? And I want to try to make it where you can understand it, but I want you to understand how that's going to come about. How many remember the word Sheol? You've heard of that in the Bible, S-H-E-O-L. Raise your hand if you heard of that word. It's the place of the departed dead, is what the word means. Here's what we believed happened. Before Jesus went to the cross, before he was resurrected, where did people go that died? Now watch, listen to me. They couldn't have gone to heaven. Because why? Jesus hadn't gone to the cross. He hadn't shed his blood. Where did they go, both lost and saved, before Jesus was resurrected? There was a place the Bible names Sheol. In one side of Sheol, there was a place called Hades. Has anybody heard that word? Hades, okay? That's those that never received Christ or would never receive Christ, okay? They're in Hades. For example, do you remember in Luke chapter 16, you had the rich man and Lazarus? Okay? Do you remember that? Lazarus died. Okay? He called Abraham's bosom, which I'll talk about in just a second. But do you remember what the Bible says about the rich man? The Bible says in Hades, he lifted up his eyes. He was in Hades, not in hell yet. And this holding tank, if you will, called Hades. So we got Sheol. It's this big place. Part of it, you have Hades. Those that never would receive Christ, okay? They're there. On the other side, you have another name that you might be familiar with called Paradise. When the thieves were crucified with the Lord on the cross, do you remember one of them said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom"? And what did Jesus say to him? "Today you'll be with me where?" In paradise. You say, okay, Brother Ron, so I want you to get this because I'm trying to get you to understand what I believe is going to happen when the rapture takes place. So we got to dive a little deeper. We got to figure out what's going to happen to these people that never received Christ, okay? So in the Old Testament, for example, or before Christ went to the cross, there was Sheol. Part of it was Hades. Part of it was paradise. Okay? Now, why is that? Again, because nobody could go to heaven because Jesus hadn't gone to the cross and he hadn't died and shed his blood. Now, let me think about it this way. Let's go back to Hades. Okay? Think about it. When someone gets caught for a crime, do they automatically take them and throw them in prison? Do they? No, you have a trial, and where do they go? The county jail, waiting for what? Waiting for a trial. God's the same way. Without Christ, they went to Hades. In fact, they're still in Hades. They're in Hades, waiting for what? The trial. When's the trial going to take place? In Revelation chapter 20, at the great white throne of judgment. Listen to me. Nobody's in hell right now. Okay? If you rejected Christ, you're in Hades waiting for trial, if you will. Waiting for the great white throne of judgment. So to answer the lady's question that said, "Brother Ron, what about those that never see?" They're going to be in the grave. Okay? Their bodies, watch this. Now watch. I'm going to put it together. Are going to be in the grave. But their spirits are going to be in Hades. Okay? Then, one day, God's going to bring them back. For example, right now, if a Christian dies, what do we say happens to them? Their body goes to the grave, but their spirit goes where? To heaven. It's the same way. Okay? When a lost person dies, what we know as a lost person, their body goes to the grave. Their spirit goes to this place called Hades, a waiting tank. One day, God's going to put them both together. Now, I want you, we don't have this on my notes, but I just, when I was studying a minute ago, I want to show you this. Can we go off script just a minute? Revelation chapter 20, this will make sense to you now. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 talks about this great white throne of judgment. Those that never received Christ will stand before. The books will be open, the book of their life and what they did with their life, their opportunities to receive Jesus. The book of life will be open, their name will be absent. Now look at verse 13 very carefully. The sea, now what's the sea? It could mean a literal sea, but I think it's talking about the sea of humanity. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. Now notice very carefully. And death and Hades delivered up the dead that were in them. What is death? That's the grave. That's where the body is. And Hades is what? That's where the spirit is. So the same thing is going to happen to a lost person that happens to a believer. Do you see that? So verse 13, the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades, the grave, and this place called Hades, the grave being where the body is, Hades is where the spirit is, delivered up the dead that were in them. Now notice, now they're coming to trial, and they were judged, each one, according to his own works. Now notice verse 14. Now watch, and death and Hades, both the body and the spirit, death and Hades were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. That is hell. That's the permanent place. Now, why would they be cast there? Because they've been judged. If you commit a crime, you go before the judge, you go before a jury. If you're found guilty, then what? You go from the county jail to where? You go to prison. So God's going to bring what? He's going to raise up death, okay, and Hades together, where the body was of the lost person and the spirit, going to put them together. They're going to stand before God, right? And then he's going to take both of them and cast them finally in their eternal dwelling place, which is hell. Does that make sense to anybody? Some of you are looking at me awful strange. I'm trying to put this down on a level that you can get. That's what we believe is going to happen. It's the same thing that's happening in the rapture. Just think about it this way, okay? You got a Christian who dies, his body goes to the grave, his spirit goes to heaven, right? Everybody agree there? That's what the Bible says. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The same thing happens on the other end, okay? Now, what happened when Jesus was resurrected, here's what I believe happened. Paradise was emptied. Now, what paradise is where those that knew Christ or would know Christ, God knew, it's empty now. Now they're in heaven. Why can they go to heaven now? Why? Because Jesus did what? He went to the cross. He died. So paradise was emptied. Okay? But Hades is still in place. How many of you understand that? Let me see your hand. Thank God. All right. All right, let's get back to the book of Revelation. Okay? Now, let's get on to some new stuff tonight. We got about 20 minutes, and we're going to use that time, okay? So we've talked about the rapture, what the word rapture means. Now, second of all, this is new tonight. We're going to talk about when the rapture takes place. Now, this is where you're going to get into some theology. This is where you're going to talk to somebody sometime about the rapture, and they're going to ask you some questions. And either you're going to look at them with a puzzled face, are you going to try to understand what they're saying? They're going to ask you this. When will the rapture take place? They're going to ask you, are you pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib? How many have ever heard that, those terms before? Here's what it means. It means the rapture, if you believe in pre-trib or pre-tribulation, it means what? We're going to be raptured before the 7 years of tribulation. The church will be raptured out. Some people believe in the mid-tribulation. What is that? Remember, tribulation is 7 years. The first 3.5 years is the tribulation period. The second 3.5 years is the great tribulation period. Many believe at that breaking point in the middle that the church will be raptured. So the church will be go through the first 3.5 years, but be raptured out in the middle, okay? Then you have those that believe in the post-tribulation, which means they believe that the church will go through the entire 7 years of tribulation. Okay, now you have to land on what you believe. Here's what I believe. This is what most Baptists believe. We are pre-trib people. And I'm going to tell you why tonight. We're going to go through a lot of scripture on why. I believe that the church will be raptured, okay, before the tribulation, pre-trib, before the 7 years of tribulation. Not midway, not when it's done, post-tribulation, but pre-tribulation. So if someone asks you, you're pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib, do me a favor and tell them you're pre-trib, okay? Does everybody get that? Does everybody understand that? Okay. Now, I believe that the return of Christ is imminent. I mean, it's ready to come. Now, Matthew 24, Jesus talks about the signs of the times. Do you remember that? I think we're seeing that now. A woman who gives birth to a child doesn't give birth just like that. Most of you ladies had to endure what? Labor, okay? So it starts out faint and the labor pains get more and more and more to the time you deliver the baby. That's what's happening in our world right now. Jesus said there'll be wars and rumors of wars. Do we have any wars taking place or rumors of war on this planet right now? Sure. Yes. Okay? Wars and rumors of war. Kingdom will rise against kingdom, nation against nation. Do we not see that with Russia and Ukraine? And all around the globe? He said there'd be pestilence and various earthquakes in various places. We're seeing all. What is happening, Brother Ron? What's happening is we're getting ready, I believe, for this rapture of the church. These are the birth pangs leading up to that point. So we need to take notice of what's happening in the world around us. It's leading us to the point where the rapture of the church will take place. And then this tribulation, this what we'll be studying probably for a few months, will begin to take place. Something Jesus said the world has never seen before. It'll be that horrendous. So some people say, well, Brother Ron, certain things have got to happen before Jesus can return back again, before a rapture of the church can happen. I disagree. It can happen at any time. I don't know of any scripture that has to be fulfilled before the rapture of the church can take place. Not one. Okay? Now, I want to show you real briefly. Now, take your Bibles. I'm going to go fast here. Do you know that those in the Bible thought that the rapture of the church would happen very quickly? They were looking for it. Now, watch. Look what Jesus said. Now, take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Look what Jesus said about being ready for this rapture. Matthew 24, verse 42. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. What's he talking about? You don't know when the Lord's coming in the air. That's why we have to watch. Now listen, Jesus got on to the Pharisees one day. He says, if you see a cloud, okay, in the south and it comes, you know it's going to be hot. If you see a red one come, you know it's going to be storms. He says you can discern the weather, but you can't discern the times. I believe we're living in a day where Christians can't discern the times. We need to look up. Birth pangs are happening all around the world, just exactly like Jesus said they will happen. What we're talking about tonight, the rapture of the church, is coming, and it's coming quickly. Jesus said you need to be ready. Now look at verse 44. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour that you do not expect. Let me ask you something. Does anybody expect Jesus to return, the rapture to happen, for the most part in this world? Do they expect that? No, not even believers. We're so busy, wrapped up in this life, in this world. Jesus said you need to watch. You need to be ready. You don't know the hour or the day or the time. Look at the news. Look what's happening in our world. Look at chapter 25, verse 13. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Now look at Philippians chapter 3. Turn to the right, Philippians chapter 3. Look, if you will, in verse 20. I believe Paul thought the rapture was going to come during his lifetime. Look at it. For our citizenship is in heaven, Philippians 3, verse 20, from which we also, now watch this, eagerly wait, long for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe Paul thought the rapture would take place in his lifetime. Well, certain things got to happen, Brother Ron. Look how far removed we are from Paul. They were ready. Paul thought it would happen in his lifetime. Now, look at Hebrews chapter 9. Keep going to the right. Hebrews chapter 9. Look, if you will, in verse 28. Hebrews 9, verse 28. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for Him, He will appear a second time. That's the rapture. Apart from sin for salvation. Eagerly wait. What I'm trying to say, all the writers of the New Testament, from Paul in the New Testament to other different writers, they thought this event that we're talking about tonight was going to happen during their lifetime. If they thought that in their lifetime, how much more should we think it in our lifetime? That's the point I'm trying to make. Now, look at James. Keep going to the right. James chapter 5. Look at verse 8. You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord, now watch this, is at hand. It's near. James thought this rapture in his lifetime was near. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. Keep going to the right. I just took these as I went through. 1 Peter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. But the end of all things is at hand. Peter thought that the rapture was going to take place in his life. Now, 1 John. Keep going to the right. 1 John chapter 2. Look at verse 18. Look what John said. Little children, it is the last hour. My point is simple. I took 2 or 3 minutes to go through those verses. If the writers of the New Testament, if the Christians living in that day thought that this rapture was going to take place during their lifetime, realizing that Jesus said, be ready, how much more should you and I be ready for this event called the rapture? I'm telling you, it could take place at any moment. Now, I want to give you some reasons now why I believe Revelation 4, verses 1 and 2, and also 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. I want to give you some reasons why I believe that it's called the rapture of the church, and it will be the rapture of the church. Now, go back. I told you to keep your finger in Revelation chapter 4. Go back there, Revelation chapter 4. Look again, if you will, in verse 1. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you the things which must take place after this. Verse 2, immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Why do I believe, verse 1, that those three words, come up here, is the rapture of the church? Now I'm going to put the context in the book of Revelation so that you'll understand it. Why do I believe at that particular point, Revelation chapter 4, remember chapter 1, John just sees a vision of the heavenly Christ. Chapters 2 and 3, it's to the seven literal churches which relate to church ages. So why do I believe that the rapture is Revelation 4, verse 1, where it says, come up here? First of all, now this is important. The church is missing. Okay? It's missing all the way through the rest of the book of Revelation. Except at the beginning of Revelation chapter 4. Okay? really prior to that, chapters 1 through 3, the seven churches, so forth and so on. From chapters 1 to 3 and the beginning of chapter 4, verse 1, the church is mentioned all the time. Listen to me. After Revelation 4, verse 2, the church is never mentioned again in the book of Revelation. It's never mentioned again. Why? It's very simple. Church is not there. It's not on the earth anymore. It's been raptured. It is in heaven. It's no longer on the earth. So you have the church, the word church mentioned chapters 1 through 3 many times, right? Chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it's alluded to. From that point on, you never see the word church in the rest of the book of Revelation. It's a simple reason. The church is not there. It's been raptured. That's why I believe the rapture takes place, Revelation 4 and verse 1. But there's a second reason. Not only is the church missing, but second of all, there's a phrase. Look again at Revelation 4 and verse 1. Behold, a door standing open in heaven. And then it talks about a voice and a trumpet. Do you see that? This is Revelation 4 and verse 1. It talks about a voice and a trumpet. And then it announces what? Come up here. Now, does that word voice and trumpet remind you of anything? It reminds you of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 16 and 17. Because both passages talk about what? They talk about heaven. They talk about a voice. They talk about a trumpet. And they talk about caught up. And they talk about come up here. You see how they correlate? It's the same phrase. What we've been studying these last few weeks as we open up end time previews, the rapture, those words that we've been studying with Paul, those words, heaven, voice, trumpet, caught up, that's the exact same terminology you get in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1, where it talks about what? A voice, a trumpet, come up here. Can you see the correlation? Does that make sense to you? So I believe when we think about Revelation 4, verses 1 through 2, why I believe that is the rapture of the church, because first of all, the church is missing thereafter. You don't even see the word church any longer in the whole book of Revelation. Second of all, because the phrase in Revelation 4, verses 1 and 2 is very similar, almost identical to 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17, which we know is talking about the rapture of the church. Let me give you a third reason. I'm going to take every bit of time I got tonight, okay? The church is missing, okay, because of the phrase, okay, the phrases we talked about, voice, trumpet, heaven, voice, trumpet, caught up, come up hither. The third thing is the removal of the Holy Spirit. Okay? The removal of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit in Revelation 2 and 3, it's mentioned all the time. What does it say at the end of every, as it gives a description of each church, what does it say? Hear what the what? Spirit, capital S, says to the churches. What happened to the church, the word church, after chapter 4, it's gone, so is the Holy Spirit. You got the Holy Spirit mentioned everywhere in chapters 1 through 3, and even 4, 1 and 2. But after that, the Holy Spirit is missing. He's gone. Okay? Revelation 4 and verse 2, look at it. I was in the Spirit. And it talks about a throne set in heaven. Now, here's what I want you to get. Why is Revelation 4... verses 1 and 2. Why do I believe that's the rapture? Revelation 4 is pre-trib, pre-tribulation. Because the tribulation doesn't start till when? It starts in chapter 6. So why do I believe that's the tribulation period? It's simple. Because the church is missing. Okay? because of the phraseology and because the removal of the Holy Spirit. Now, please turn to this verse, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Would you notice something very interesting? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look what Paul says in verse 7. For the mystery of lawlessness. You say, what is that, Brother Ron? The word mystery there doesn't mean something you can't know. It simply means something that's not been revealed yet. The mystery of lawlessness. As we get closer to the rapture of the church, okay, what's happening in our culture right now? Lawlessness is on a degree that none of us have seen before. Can we all agree on that? If it's at that degree now, let me ask you a question. What will it be during the tribulation period? It's unfathomable. So this mystery of lawlessness, look at it again, verse 7. For this mystery of lawlessness is already at work. We agree it's at work now, but wait to the tribulation period and those that have to go through it. Now notice what he says. Notice carefully. Only he, in my Bible, the New King James Version, has got he capitalized. Do you see that? Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. Let me ask you a question. Who restrains from all hell comes against the church today? It's the Holy Spirit. Do you see that? What would happen today if we didn't have the Holy Spirit? Now notice what he says again, because I want you to get this. For this mystery of lawlessness is already at work. It's at work now. Is it work then? It's at work now. It's really going to be at work during the tribulation period. Only he, capital he, the Holy Spirit, that's who I believe he's referring to, who now restrains, will do so, now watch, until what? Until he's taken out of the way. When is he going to be taken out of the way? Revelation chapter 4, starting at verse 3, all the way through the end of the book. Does that make sense to you? That's why all hell is going to break loose. It's because the Holy Spirit is taken away. Listen, the church is taken away. Can you imagine a world without the church? Can you imagine a world without the Holy Spirit? Can I go a few more minutes? Do we have choir practice tonight? Oh, you shouldn't have told me that. Can I have a few more minutes? Okay. So I'm talking about why I believe Revelation 4, 1 and 2 is the rapture of the church in the context of the book of Revelation. Why do I believe that? The church is missing. Okay, you got that? Second of all, the phraseology in Revelation 4, 1 and 2 is the same phraseology you have in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. And also, because of the removal of the Holy Spirit. You do not see the Holy Spirit after Revelation 4, verses 1 and 2. You basically don't see the Holy Spirit anymore throughout the book. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's gone. Why is the Holy Spirit gone? Because the church is gone. You see that? But something else. Because of what Jesus said. I believe the Lord said, I will not allow the church to go through the tribulation period. Now, look at Revelation 3 and verse 10. I'm going to bring this to a close. I wish I had about another 15 or 20 minutes, but I don't. Look what Jesus said in Revelation 3 and verse 10. Talking to the church at Philadelphia. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from, now notice, from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Jesus told this church, I'm going to keep you from that. That's what he's telling us today. Do you see that? Then go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at verse 9. For God did not appoint us to wrath. What's going to happen in the tribulation period? It's going to be a time of wrath that the world's never seen before. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 9 says, For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And look at 1 Thessalonians 1. Go back a page. Look at verse 10. and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus who delivers us, now watch, from the wrath to come. I've given you four reasons. I think they're powerful reasons why the church will be removed before the tribulation period. Remember, we're what? We're pre what? We're pre-trib. That there's others, but those are basically four reasons, powerful reasons, why I do not believe the church body of believers, will not go through the tribulation period. Now, next Wednesday night, I got one more point. It's going to be short. Now, listen, we're fixing to get into this tribulation period. You're going to hang with me. I have tried every way I can to condense the trumpets, the bowls, and the seals. Those are judgments. There's a lot to them. So we're going to take them one at a time because this is what makes up the tribulation period. So we'll begin that as we end up the last major point next Wednesday. Okay? Now, next Wednesday, everything you learned tonight, I'm going to go over it briefly. Okay? So next Wednesday night, I'll go over it again because I want you to understand. I know it was a lot tonight. I gave you a little extra. You do whatever you want to do with that, okay? But anyway, remember, the rapture of the church is imminent. Could happen at any time. The dead in Christ will rise first. We are alive and remain. We'll be caught up together with the Lord in the clouds. That's all I want you to remember about the rapture. Okay? So we talked about what it means. We talked about when it will happen. Next week, we're going to talk about what are the results of the rapture. Because it's going to be a horrendous time even at the rapture. Because there's going to be, you remember the series Left Behind? Anybody remember that? Think about it. I want you to stop and think about something. If you're a believer and you're raptured and your wife is not a believer, or your children are not a believer, can you imagine what's going to happen? When they look for mom and dad are not there? Or you look for your friend or your neighbor? And when you go to church, half the church is gone? This is what we're going to talk about next week because it's going to be real. Okay? And then we'll get into the tribulation period. All right. Thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for giving me an extra 6 minutes. Okay? I appreciate that so much. Now, I feel like a little bit I've overwhelmed you tonight. I don't mean to overwhelm you. Just stay loose. Okay? It's all going to work out. Okay? We're going to get this, and you're going to be able to explain this to anybody. I promise you, you will, but you got to stick with me. Okay?